Wednesday evening. We're going to look at a teaching called The Help. A few years ago, I taught on The Help, but I don't remember what I taught. So this is, I guess, The Help again. So the first scripture I want to look at is Psalms 46. Verse 5. All right. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. And that word help there means surround, protect, or aid. That's what we're looking at. Even in the Old Testament, God was there for his people. He didn't just drop us out here to fend for ourselves. When we need help, he will give us help. We're going to look further into that. We have paid a high price for insurance benefits all of our life. Think about that. Recently, the rates increased, and everybody's on the phone haggling, trying to get their insurance rates down, and they'll back and forth on the phone for hours. How ready are we to spend that kind of time with the Holy Spirit to get the help we need? See, he's a very present help in time of trouble. He knows everything. So why wouldn't we consult the one that knows everything to show us what to do? All right? Just picture that in your mind. Like, say, going to a doctor's office, and I've seen it. People at that window haggling with them over what their coverage is. And if they tell them, no, you don't this, they'll be in their face and they'll get ugly and all this kind of stuff to make sure that they get their rights and benefits. It's what we paid for. That's what Jesus paid for. All right. If you're willing to do this naturally, are you willing to do it spiritually? You know, we've been talking about for weeks now, the Lord kind of pull aside and look inside, pull aside, look inside. We're so used to just doing stuff, just doing the way that everybody else does, and a lot of times we'll just do what we know to do instead of, well, Lord, what would you say how I should do this? We wonder, well, why won't God help us? I said that the other day. I said, the Lord said he's going to send us some help. Where's the help? And I backtracked on that. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. You're the help. You are the help. You're the help. And I mean, he doesn't use people. But see, we get to thinking naturally. We need this, and we need this, and we need this. But do we really? It's all right to get help, but I believe if you need to, the Lord will show you where to go and who to use, and that way you don't end up just cleaning up messes all the time. We could tell you about that the last couple of years. You know? All right. I would say to most Christians, very few, don't do this. I know they don't. I don't know many. But just the ones that I'm closely associated with, it's like when you have something for them and you say something to them, it's like it goes in one ear and out the other. And they just go about doing what they normally would do. They ask you to pray, but then when you have something to give them, you know, later I'll think, you're having problems? Well, didn't the Lord say do this? Well, did you do this? No, I didn't do that. Well, maybe that's why you're having problems. All right. Even Christians filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues don't even do this. Sometimes it's just to them, well, that's just an experience, and I speak in tongues when I go to church or whatever, but no, this is for a particular reason. What does the Holy Ghost do in us? Well, he hooks us up with their benefits. That's what he does. All right, we're going to look at some scriptures on that. People would rather go to the so-called experts all over the world to try to get the answers that they need. Somebody that's more credible. Or they listen to a pastor on TV that's got a mega church. First church of the dead or whatever. I don't know. But it's the truth. I've seen it. I've seen it for years. People just, I don't know. I think they don't know how to tap into the spirit, and so they don't. They just do the natural, and they combine God in it with them. Let's just mix it all up, you know? Like God uses medicine. Well, you know what? You may be praying in the spirit, and he may tell you to go. Does that mean he uses it? No, it means he's giving you the permission to do so because maybe you aren't where you need to be in your faith. You understand what I'm saying? See, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. But if you never tap into the Spirit, we get into all this just things that we just say and speak. All right, see, this is Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth with benefits, even the God of our salvation. There's about three scriptures here that have that word. Psalms 103:2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. Here's part of his benefits: who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Youth renewal, new teeth. Heals your diseases. Psalms 116:12. Those are the three that use the word benefits. 116:12 says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Right up at the top, it says, verse 8 says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. See, these are his benefits. He leads us in all of these different directions if we will tap into him. All right, benefit there means an act of good service or requital, a bestowment, crowns you. We read one while ago that he crowns you. All right, if as Christians we are diligent in the spiritual as we are in the natural, we'll have a lot better life. Anytime that I've really taken the time to be diligent to pray in the spirit and took the attitude, I'm not leaving until I get an answer, or I'm going to keep at this until I know. The Lord's never disappointed, never. And it's always been the right thing, always. It's never wrong, all right? Why do Christians believe the experts of the world over the Holy Spirit? Like I said, I don't believe they know how to tap into the Holy Spirit. You can be filled with the Spirit, go to church all your life, and really not ever know about the benefits of speaking in tongues. I'm thankful to Brother Hagin for that. He really broke down and wrote books on this subject for people to understand. And he did a very good job on that. All right. All right, so how do we partake of these benefits that God has provided for us? The helper, of course. The helper. You should say that the helper is our spiritual insurance agent. All right, we're going to look at some scriptures. quite a few scriptures actually. John 14 is the first one. Since he's the one that helps us attain our benefits, he's our insurance agent. Isn't that what Mike Povzimny does for us? All right. John 14, 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffice us. And Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Greater works than these shall I do, because I go unto my Father. And whatever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." This is the Helper. He's there inside waiting for us to draw upon him anytime. All right, how did Jesus do what he did? Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, but afterward he hungered. The devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into the high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. Thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost like we are. What did he go through? He went through testing. He went through this time in the wilderness of temptation. And I believe it was led of the Spirit what to say to the devil, because you need to know. You don't just do stuff off the top of your head. Like I said, Sunday I made some statements, and I'm thinking, yeah, did I get the backlash from that? About not treading into a territory that maybe that's not where you should be. I don't know that for a fact, but you know, we need to hear from the Holy Spirit about what we do. It's not just happenstance and flip-floppy here and there and do whatever you want. This is serious business. I'm telling you what, them demons recognize you when you step on the scene. They know who you are. The devil knew who he was. He was talking about, the scripture says this about you. Then he says, well, if you are the Son of God, he knew who he was. All right, he told his disciples to do what? We're going to be looking. Luke 24, 49. Okay, why did I write this down? Here we go again, y'all. I'm sorry. It's been a rough few days. I got it. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So, they were apostles, right? But Jesus said, you don't do anything till you get the power. Yeah, till you get the power. All right, Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. I was thinking about Kathy Walters again. I was thinking about the time that the doctor, she's sick to go on a long trip, 10 hours away, and she started having problems. So her husband said, well, you might ought to go to the doctor and check it out. And she had, you know, said, hi, no, what is it? Well, anyway.
High blood pressure?
No. It was... It's what they're saying the vaccine does.
What's on the roof of your house?
Shingles. Good. Well, Santa's been up there today putting the lights up. I want to say Santa Surfing, but it's Santa Solutions. But anyway, you know, the doctor told her what she's going to experience and all those things. She just said, no, I'm not going to have any of those problems. But she prayed in the spirit for 10 hours. And she must have looked like a mad woman because she said, the stewardess kept trying to give me a glass of wine. She didn't care. But when she landed, she was well. What'd she do? She hooked into her benefits. We're going to read some more scriptures and you'll see that. Shouldn't we be led by the Spirit in everything we do? Everything we do? All right, this is Romans 8. If you know your Bible, you knew that was coming. Romans 8. One of my favorite chapters right here. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, the other day, and I may have mentioned this Sunday, I don't remember, but the other day I was thinking about some things as a mother that I feel like I had failed in, and I was just feeling so bad about myself, and I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, You're forgiven. You don't have to go back down memory lane and have to feel bad about anything. You're forgiven. The Lord doesn't remember that you did anything. That's covered. Oh, but the judgment seat of Christ. No, he doesn't go back and rehash all your sins that have been covered by the blood. He's not going to do it. What did it do? It caused me to tear up and start crying because I thought, it just a weight lifted off my shoulders. I don't have to live in that past. I don't have to hear some kid in my face saying, well, you didn't do this or you didn't do that, which I don't have that. But you know what I mean? Some kids do those kind of things. But you know what? What can we do? We can't do anything about it. And the Holy Spirit saying that just washed over me and just brought me out of that wrong thinking. Because that's what the devil does. He leads you down wrong thinking paths to try to blame you and shame you. But the only thing the Holy Spirit does, he leads and guides you into all truth. He may show you something of the past so that he can bring you out. Sometimes you got to go back to the root of a problem to get it fixed. It's not to shame you or to blame you. That's not the way the Holy Spirit operates. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's the key. You get in the flesh, the devil will hop on you and fill your head full. But when you're in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's saying, you're forgiven. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Boy, that's a benefit, isn't it? For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How do you walk by the Spirit? You listen to him and do what he says. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. How much agony could we have spared ourselves by tapping into what the Holy Spirit has to say and waiting long enough to hear what he has to say? If we did that, we would never fail. Do you realize that? Never. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You never have to look back and regret and say, we should have done this. No, we should have done that. I wish we'd have done this. I wish we'd done that. What good is that going to do? Forgiven. But from now on, ask me. I'll show you what to do. But the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. See, the mind, it just does what it's done its whole life. That's where that carnality comes in. You just do what you know to do, and you've failed all your life, but you just keep doing the same things. Because its mindset's fixed in you. That's why we renew our mind with God's Word, so we can know God's will. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Isn't that what happened to Kathy Walters? I've had many healings that way by the Spirit. Just, it didn't come overnight. I remember one time I told Danny I'd been dealing with something for over a month and using all kinds of natural things, and I wasn't getting any headway. So I got my health food book by Brother Hagin out, and I went, I said, I'm not leaving till I get an answer on this. And he went back in the bedroom, I guess, watched TV or something. And I stayed in the living room. I read that health food for an hour, then I'd pray in the Spirit an hour, and I did that for 4 hours. And all of a sudden, the peace of God come up in me, and the Lord said, well, you're well. Lay that stuff down. And I did. I walked on like everything was fine, and it was. All right. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die, but ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, we're being trained to listen to the Holy Spirit and let him tell us what to do, instead of just doing the way we always have done. And we look back and regret. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not the way God ever wanted it to be. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father, acceptance. That means dear daddy here. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Sometimes we have to be reminded, just like the Holy Spirit had to remind me, don't feel bad about that. You're forgiven. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if it so be that you suffer with Him, you shall also be glorified together. Yes, it is suffering. You do suffer when you go against the ways that you've known your whole life and you walk in the Spirit. It's hard on your flesh. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's what this whole earth is waiting for. Those that walk it just like Jesus did. And they see it and they know it. Who wouldn't run to that? For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. See, we're finally going to get rid of this thing. It's going to change. We're not going to get rid of it. People say we're going to get a new body. No, we're not. We're going to get a changed body. For we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit here is tapping into your benefits. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He's got a pipeline right to God. And He knows everything about you. He knows everything about everything. And He knows just what you need. And sometimes you get a quick answer and sometimes you don't. It's kind of like with my freezer that day. I've been praying about that freezer for over a year or longer. And man, it just popped up in me, go get your freezer. I'm going, what? And then I didn't have any regrets about getting it. Like, well, maybe I shouldn't have bought that. The Holy Spirit said, do it. It's okay. I mean, I've known there's been times in our lives where I wanted some new furniture or something, and I just got to where I wouldn't say anything. I'd just tell the Lord about it. And Danny come in there and say, that furniture you've been wanting, the Lord says, go get it. I could try to make people do stuff, you know. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh the intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He's never going to pray anything but good and beneficial for you. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Why? Because they won't be subject to failure. Because when you follow the Spirit, you win every time. To them who are called according to His purpose. Let me read that again. And we know. It's not a scripture we pull out of context. Well, you know, all things work for good. Well, I don't know. Do you pray in the Spirit? If you don't, no, that don't apply to you. First time I ever heard that was one of the greatest revelations I ever heard. It was a lady out at a church we went to. She said, that's not talking about that. That's not what that means. That means the benefit of praying in the Spirit. I thought, bingo, made a change in my life. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. See, when we do it His way, it works. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. What did Jesus do? I don't say anything Father doesn't say. I don't do anything Father doesn't say do. I'm not independent rogue. I do what my Father's will is. That's what He did. And we're supposed to be in His image, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus did what He did because He wanted more of us just like Him. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? Well, you know, well, we're saying He's for us. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? See, we go, when we get in our flesh, we go about it the wrong way. We get the cart before the horse. Because God wants to give you all things, but He has a plan. The houses that we've bought, we had no plan. We just happened onto them. And then we got a witness. We weren't looking for no house. The last house, we weren't looking for a house. This house, we were not looking for a house. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? There's not anything that can keep you from tapping into that source. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, and all these things were more than conquerors through him that loved us. I mean, I'm telling you, Paul and Silas in the jail, backs beaten and bleeding. What happened? Deliverance. Peter, fixed to get executed the next day. What happened? They were over there praying in the Spirit. Because they didn't even believe it was Peter when he came to the gate. What happened? Holy Ghost took hold together with him to pray through God's perfect will. That's how it works, and that's the way it'll be in everything you do. You talk about a, I won't say it'll be blissful because you will have persecution, but when you learn to do things like that, man, God just takes hold and he just does it. You get in that mode, you think, how did I ever live the other way? For I persuade that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you've got this going on, there is nothing can stop you when you make that connection. Forgiven. Righteous, that's what righteousness is. You don't have any consciousness or any guilt that you've done anything wrong. I know we all do that. Well, what did I do wrong? What did we do wrong? Because as a kid, you know, I was always getting myself in trouble, always getting that belt, you know? But that's not the way God is. No. He trains us and He lets us go through painful things, but He is training us to hear His voice. I believe He's waiting at times for us to ask Him, what's up, Lord? What is this going on for? And pray in the Spirit long enough to find out. I'm telling you, most people that are sick, Christians, Spirit-filled Christians, if they go let the preacher pray for them, if they don't see anything better in 2 or 3 days, they're at the doctors getting pills and all this stuff. See, I'm telling you, they don't really understand. They really don't understand how it means to be totally led by the Spirit of God. Now, I can't say I'm perfect in it, but I try. We all have to try the best we can, and as we get more mature, we come up higher in that. It's not overnight. Okay, let me keep going here. All right, Romans. God has all the answers. This is not anything that you're there's nothing that you're dealing with that God does not have the solution for. So why are you trying to do everything in your own power? You can't change yourself. You can't do it yourself. You just absolutely cannot. I remember the last time Mady was here, it seemed like I was teaching on something along this line, and I was talking about, you can't change yourself. God has to do that work in you. And she had this big old smile come on her face, like, you know, when you carry guilt or whatever. See, that's what the devil does. He's the condemner and he's the accuser. The Holy Spirit is not. All right. Let's look at some more scriptures. Colossians 2. That chapter 8, to me, that's my chapter. All right. Colossians 2, 9 and 10 says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Yeah. Right, let's keep going here. 1 Corinthians 1, 26. "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." See, he wants the glory for it. "That according as is it written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." You know, we can't take credit. We can't take credit. God gets the credit because he does it. He's the one that's leading. We're just following him. All right, John 5:19. I read that a while ago, I think, but let me read it again. John 5:19. Well, I spoke it a while ago. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." That's how Jesus was able to do what he did. John chapter 12. 49 and 50. "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." God wants our dependency off the system and on to him. He may lead us to the system from time to time, banking, whatever. But sometimes I think the Lord just sits aside and says nothing to see how long we will pursue him about it, or if we will at all. All right. Even Jesus had to refuel. Obviously, that was, you know, not natural sleep. Like we think we have to have our 8 hours, but we don't pray much. We think we have to have all this sleep. Well, I beg to differ with you, because if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he will quicken your mortal body by Spirit that dwells in you. The emphasis should be on the Spirit over the body. Now, you have to feed the body, give drink water, do those kind of things, but I think we've had the cart before the horse on that respect. Like Brother Copeland used to say, you know, they feed their body 3 huge meals and 2 snacks a day, but they might, you know, open their Bible and read a scripture or 2 on Sunday morning, and that's all. Or they may go to school and have a big, fat, developed brain on, you know, but their spirit man is like a stick person. All right, Matthew 26:36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Many times Jesus, he'd let them go out in the boat or whatever, but he would go up in the mountain and pray. And he took with him Peter, the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and finding them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Anybody can give into the flesh. But to make a determination to seek the Lord and pray in the Spirit, that's a discipline. All right. Sadly, a lot of our praying is to clean up the messes we've already been making because we didn't pray and get God's instructions in the first place. I know why Paul said what he did. This is 1 Corinthians 14:18. You know, Paul, I was reading about the slave girl, and it said the spirit, when he was dealing with that spirit for many days, it said in the Amplified, he was toiling. He was wrestling, toiling with that thing. It was aggravating him, probably giving him pain. I don't know. That's what was going on. But he didn't do it for many days. Why? He didn't have it to do. But anyway, the Amplified says he was wore out. You just feel like you're just going to fall on the floor. You're just so weary. Says he's wore out. I like the Amplified because it kind of speaks more normal language. Anyway, Brother Hagin tells of a man that never lost a dime in the stock market because he would go in his prayer closet. Somebody would say, you need to buy this stock. It's really hot. You know, he'd go and pray about it and listen to what the Spirit said do. He did that every time. And he said sometimes the stock, they'd say, no, that's a bad stock. And the Holy Spirit would say, invest in it. And he'd always make money on it and vice versa. All right. This is what coming aside and looking inside is all about, praying in the Spirit until we all get clear to move ahead. A person that operates this way will always come out on top, like my freezer. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Ask the helper. He always knows what to do. But stay long enough to get an answer. He will answer you. He will. If you have the diligence to wait.